2 Kings chapter 22, verse 1 and 2. Let's read the two verses together, collectively. Okay? 2 Kings chapter 22, verse 1 and number 2. Ready? I hope you have it in your Bibles. Let's read together. Alama. Okay, 22 verse 1 and 2. Ready? 1, 2, go. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Jedidah, the daughter of Adiah of Bozkath. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in all the way of David his father, and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. Let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that thy word teaches us the Old Testament were written for our learning, that through patience and comfort of the scriptures we might have hope. Father, the Old Testament, many of the ceremonial law is done away with in Jesus Christ, but yet you give us the Old Testament precious lessons and principles by which we can use to govern our lives. Today I pray for everyone here to take thy word seriously, even as we sit under the teaching of your word. It's not Parachonis teaching, it's your teaching, Lord. And I pray that we'll have a heart like the Thessalonian church. They will hear the word of God as it is from heaven. And that, Father, the pleasant parts may be an encouragement to us. The challenging parts of the Bible may it be something that we will that will lead us to wanting you to help us with. Father, the unpleasant parts of the scriptures, I pray that you will grant us a humble heart to receive. And Father, the convicting parts, help us to surrender in repentance to what you have for us. And I pray that your Holy Spirit will preside over this time, that what that is said and done, Lord, will bring you praise and glory, but will bring every soul, every child of God, closer to you. I pray for one person who do not know Jesus as their Savior. Help them to see, Lord, the emptiness of life without Christ and the hopelessness of an eternity in the lake of fire without Christ. Even as we humble our hearts to hear what you have to say, be with the driver of the van right now, even as he sends the people back. Be with those who are sick. Remember, our Desmond, Brother Maloney, thank God he's on his way. We thank God also. We pray, Father, for those brethren who are still sick, or we ask you to be with them, comfort their hearts. But Holy Spirit of God, I pray that you will be our teacher today. We thank you, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Okay, as we serve the Lord, as we do different things for God in Ambassador, I believe God wants to strengthen our families as well as we serve Him. Okay, so over the next few weeks, I will still asking the Lord's leading as to which direction we need to take. I believe very much God has much to say to us. Okay, thank you. God has very much to say to us. You know what Satan usually does when we serve God is to destroy us from behind. Well, Satan is a master deceiver. He is sly. He oftentimes takes us when we are unawares. And before we know it, we're far away from God. So today, I know today's message, some people will say, well, the title of today's message is, what kind of child will you have? But I want you all to just pause for a moment. And I believe this message has to do with three groups of people. One, what kind of child? Some of us may think, oh, I'm already past the age of parenting. You know, I'm already kind of, well, all my children are grown up, they have their own lives and all that. Then the question today we may change and say, what kind of child do you have? Okay, the second group is perhaps you still have young children, small, they're still growing up. We can ask the question, what kind of child will I have? Okay, for the first group is past parenting, what kind of child do I have now, based on the Bible? The second group of parents is, what kind of child will I have in the future? Okay, this will be for those who have more children, Okay, growing up still? Are those who plan to be married and want to have children next time? What kind of child will I have? The third group is, this came up with today, what kind of child will I be? Based on what God says. Okay, today we want to touch this tree. So, you see, the Bible is applicable to everyone. We have to accept that. Well, I ask to look at this. Anyone with some knowledge of the Bible will know that King Josiah, how old was he as a king? He was 8 years old. Okay, he's 8 years old. Anyone with some sort of Bible knowledge will know that King Josiah, at the age of 8, later on as he grew up in life, was instrumental in the revival that was brought out in the nation of Judah about 600 years before the coming of Christ. Okay? So, he was only a young child when he began to rule, the Bible says. Can you imagine an 8-year-old being in charge of the affairs of the whole nation? 8 years old. Alright, that means there's no 8-year-old here, they're all upstairs. Okay, but this 8-year-old is in charge of a whole nation. Can you imagine? Can you imagine an 8-year-old being in charge of Singapore? I think there will be a lot of... where am I? Okay, what makes this child so successful in being able to lead? And by the way, Josiah is one of the good kings of Judah. We know, right, in the FBI, there is the northern kingdom, the 10 tribes, and then the southern kingdom, there are 2 tribes. There are no good kings in the kingdom of Israel, the 10 bad tribes, the northern kingdom. But the two, Judah, which is the divided kingdom of Israel, we have some good kings, and Josiah was one of them. Okay, he was one of them. And today I want us to, as families, answer these questions in our hearts. 4 things God wants every family to note from the life of King Josiah. Number 1, I want you to note this. Josiah knows God. Josiah knows God. He knows God. In 2 Chronicles chapter 34, verse 1 to 3, you can read it, it's in your verses, I believe. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned in Jerusalem 130 years. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the ways of David his father, and declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. For in the 8th year of his reign, while he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David his father. Well, the Bible says when he was 8 years old, he was actually walking in the ways of God. The reason, do you know why Josiah was placed on the throne at the age of 8? Interestingly, his father, Ammon, the king, okay, you can read that in 2 Kings chapter 21, we won't turn there, the whole thing. Ammon the king was Josiah's father. And the Bible says he was an evil king. We'll talk about him a bit later. He was assassinated 2 years after he was the king. And Josiah was the next in line. So Josiah was kind of like no choice, he's next in line. He had to push him up to be the king. Yet at that age of 8 years old, the Bible says he walked in the ways of David his father. The number one thing, parents, we need to do is to bring our children to a knowledge of God. That is number one priority for every parent sitting here and those who will be listening to this message. That is number one priority as pastor and a carer of the souls. Every dad and mom need to know the number one priority for you and your children is that you give your children the knowledge of God. Number one priority. Nothing is more important than for a life that God gave into this world and one day will stand before the judgment seat of Christ and before the great white throne that he be endued in the 70 years of life if God gave him to give the children a knowledge of the Most High God and what he has to do in response to this God. Nothing is more important than that. I say that with all my heart. There are too many damaged children, damaged families, because parents, we have failed in that. And I say that with a heart. I know I'm studying it very hard, but we need to know this. There are just too many casualties. There are just too many children broken. Our Sunday school have disorderly, misbehaved children. Why? Because parents are not there for them, let alone give them the knowledge of God. And you are sitting here.
with full knowledge of God's word.
For some parents, a good education, parents say, I want to give my child a good education. That is not wrong. A child needs to know the word of God. He needs to read. He needs to learn to write. For others, the children must be able to do things the right way. But the Bible says, the conclusion of the whole matter is to fear God and keep His commandments, for that is the whole duty of man. It's not written in there, but in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 14, you know why? Because God will bring every secret work, the last verse of Ecclesiastes chapter 12, at the judgment. Everything that you will ever do in your life, children, one day, you will have to highlight that to God. And if you don't, God will highlight it to you. Everything in your life will have to be on display. But Brother Johnny, you know, why should that be the number one priority just because you said so? Let's look at Psalm 78, verse 5. Okay? It's not written in your verses. This is just an additional. Psalm 78, verse 5. Psalm 78, verse 5. For people of Ambassador, there's nothing more important than that. If you come to Ambassador, you will hear that preach. I pray that for the generations to come in this church, every father, every youth leader, everyone who will teach, we will always center on giving the people that come here a knowledge of who God is. Psalm 78. Notice what the psalmist said. Let me just read, and then you hear what the psalmist said. Give ear, verse 1, O my people, to the law. Incline my ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have taught us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generations to come the praises of the Lord and His strength, and His wonderful works that He had done. For He established a testimony in Jacob, and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children. Why? Why did God appoint a law for the children of Israel to teach the next generation? Look at verse 6. That the generation to come might know the words of God them, even the children that should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children. Verse 7 is the purpose that they might set their hope in God. If I ask you today, children and teenagers, to stand up here to declare what is your hope for the future, what is the hope for your future, can you boldly say, Pastor Johnny, my hope is in God? Parents, can you honestly say that your children, when standing up here and give a testimony, my hope is in God? That is the will of God in Psalm 78, verse 7. That the fathers are to teach their children the word of God. Why? Verse 7, that they might set their hope in God. In the context, you have to understand, when the children of Israel were leaving Egypt, they only had one hope to get out of Egypt. You know what's their hope? God. Do you agree? They knew that when Moses came, and the 10 plagues they saw, they could only trust one person for their deliverance, that's God. When they were facing the Red Sea, surrounded by mountains on both sides, the water in front, the Egyptian army behind ready to kill them, what did they do? They started to complain. Moses, the man of God, said, be still and behold the salvation of the Lord. And before them, the most miraculous thing, probably in the Old Testament, that God did, opened the Red Sea. 24 kilometers in length, 1 meter, that would be actually a miracle. You know why? In 1 meter of water, God drowned the entire Egyptian army. But more than 1 kilometer deep and more than 1 kilometer wide. And God opened the Red Sea to let His people through. And then God closed the Red Sea to destroy the armies of Israel. And God said, Israelite fathers, I want you never to forget what I did for your children in the past. And I want you to remember to tell your children, your grandchildren, your great-great-great-grandchildren what I did so that they might set their hope in God. Can I ask you, when your son and daughter is in trouble or something has happened that he does not know what to do, can he turn to his subjects in school like physics and math and social studies? And will those things help them to overcome the issues of life? Do you know the only thing that can overcome the issues of life is the Bible, God's precious word? Christian, we need, parents, we need, number one priority for if you have children is to give them a knowledge of God. The Bible says in Matthew 16:26, for what is a man profiteth if you gain the whole world and you lose his soul? Your son can be a PhD holder, can be 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 PhDs. Today, master's degree, no longer diploma or degree, master's degree is the minimum in some professions. PhDs, people can have 3 or 4. So what if you have PhD? So what? Jesus said, if you can gain the whole world and yet lose your own soul, what is that? I had a PhD lecturer, very, very knowledgeable neurology lecturer in Australia. He is so smart, he is not funny, okay? He can, I don't think this can be done in Singapore, but for him, he would do his final exams paper, the question he did the night before. Maybe that's permissible in Australia. You know, for Singapore, in MOE, we set the exams, must be vetted by like four, how many groups of teachers? Like 4 different groups of you, I don't know. They make sure, go through again and again, then after that, they send it for. No, he was so smart, they can actually do it the night before. This was a very, very smart lecturer. People would consult him every time we went to ask him about questions about the human body and nerves and all that. He could give you an answer just like that. He could put things together very quickly. The last thing I heard, it's a neurology lecturer, very smart, one of the brilliant minds in Perth. He divorced his wife, moves in with a third-year student. Threw away everything that the wife has given to him. The PhD didn't help him in his life. Because you know why? This one fills your... The academic studies fills your head. God fills the heart. Many Christians don't have God here. Or rather, many people don't have God here. And therefore, they live by their own principles. Number one priority as parents is to bring our children to a knowledge of God. And you know the best time to teach them? Knowledge of God? 0 to 5 years. Say, what? I'll go through a development later. 0 to 5 years. Look at 2 Timothy 3:15. The Bible says that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. The word child in the Greek means Noah. Is Noah still here? Is Noah still here? Drinking milk, okay. The time to teach the Bible to your child is from that time. You know why? It's uninterrupted. God says in the Greek that from a child you have known the Holy Scriptures. In other words, Paul told Timothy, your parents had such priority for your salvation that from the time you were born, they are already telling you the Scriptures. But Brother Johnny, all the baby can do is, right? What to do? Do you realize the amount of information a 2-year-old has is equivalent to a 4-year degree you would take in a university? The amount of knowledge and information. Of course, it's not academic. But you know, 0 to 2 years old, the child learns a lot of life things. He knows that when it's very loud, he gets scared. He knows it's when I cry, no one comes to me. I feel very distressed. There was an experiment in one of the universities. It was there was no ethical problems with that. What they did was abandon children. Is they did this. They put two groups. One group, they put soft toys with the children. Okay. Another group, whenever the child cries, no one attends to them. Okay, these are abandoned children. They found after a 6-month period, if I'm not wrong the timing, the group that when the child cries but didn't get any response slowly began to die off. They died. Whereas the group that has soft toys behind, there was some form of comfort. Now you know why all the little girls and boys like their teddy bears. There is that comfort to them. Parents, you know why God put in you an instinctive nature that when your baby cries, you go to him? Because that's the nature of God. The moment you cry, God says, I hear. Amen? But when parents, we relinquish or we do not do what we are supposed to do in teaching the word of God to the child from young, you will find your child being taught things that you don't care for. I've seen 2 to 3-year-olds do, what's this? I just don't know how to do this. What's this? And some people laugh. You know what? What's this? 5-year-olds doing this? What's this? Come on, let's be honest. No one dares to say it in church, right? It's a Korean, what, Gangnam style, right? Right? Now they laugh. Children at their age can do this when they should be setting their hope in God. We laugh. It's okay. It's funny. That's why Spurgeon says, if we do not apply the rod to the child when he's young, as parents, we must not be surprised when the children becomes a rod to us when they are older. How many of you knows Amos Yee? How many of you knows Amos Yee? Yeah? Everyone knows. Why? Even the parents don't want to bail him out. That's a sad thing. Don't know whether he's a Christian. Does your child know God? Does your child know God? Does your child know God? If in the first 5 years, your children are being introduced to concepts that will lead them away from God, parents, you are going down a wrong track. How to help a child know God? In Deuteronomy chapter 6, the verse is there. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. God instructs the nation of Israel in the Shema, the Deuteronomy 6. You, parents, shall love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your might, soul, and with all thine might. These words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. How do we teach our children the word of God? God must be in your heart first. That is the Mosaic principle for all parents. If you are to teach your children, parents, God and His Word must be in your heart. And in your response to God, you must love Him with everything that you have got. That is what Moses is saying. You are to love God with all of your heart, with all of your might, with all of your soul. Your plans for holiday must be centered in God. The plan for your career must be centered in God. You must go to a place where there is a church that you can grow in. You must have a time in your timetable on a weekly basis that you teach your children the Word of God. We spend more time planning for our holidays than we plan teaching the Word of God to our children. That is absolutely inconsistent with what Moses is saying. Moses is telling the children, you have to love God with everything you have got. How do you teach your children the Word of God? Children will not imbibe God without you, dads and moms. Why do you think many children of Christian parents go astray? Because whatever that's in dad and mom's heart is not translated to the child. God does not have grandchildren. We must know God for Him, for ourselves first. How well do you know God, moms and dads? How well do you know God? Can I say this? Moms and dads, I believe God is speaking to our hearts, but children, listen to this. Don't blame mom and dad when you're of age to make a decision for your own Christian lives. Don't blame mom and dad. There must come a time, after I touch on that, that we will love God for ourselves.
Mom and Dad, Proverbs 20, verse 7, the Bible says, the just man walketh in his integrity. In other words, the life of someone who is walking after God, he's walking in his integrity, in his character. His children are blessed after him. Did you know, when God sent the flood, there was one man who found grace with God. Who was that? Noah, right? You all better be careful. With birth of Noah, we may need to start building the ark.
Just kidding.
Noah is Sister Felicia's newborn. But the Bible says because of Noah, his wife, his three daughters, and his three son-in-law were preserved from the flood. Yes? Fathers, it could be you. You could be the instrument by which the next generation and the next generation will continue to set their hopes in God. If we do not walk in the ways of God, fathers, don't expect your children to walk in the ways of God. If we give excuses why we cannot come to church, fathers, your children will give excuses why you cannot be in church. If we give excuses why we cannot serve God, moms and dads, your children will also give you the same reasons you give to them. If we give reasons why we cannot get along with other people, your children will give the same reasons as they grow up. You know why? Train up a child in the way he should go. If this is what the children see day in, day out, it will be part of their lives next time. I don't know about you. Every time I see a bad habit in my children,
it's very hard to discipline them.
Because God says, there, that's you. You know what it takes for us dads and moms? We need to repent. We need to change our minds. We need to see our child's souls and what they will be next time. It's important that we will do what we can to change ourselves. Some of us as parents are backslided away from the Lord. If we are in that condition, we cannot expect our children to have any desire for God. That is what God says. Number one, Josiah knew God. Number two, his actions were right in the eyes of God. 2 Kings chapter 22, verse 2. The Bible says, 2 Kings, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. The Bible is very clear. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. He was doing the things that was right in the sight of the Lord. How do we know that things are right in the sight of the Lord? Do we ever know? Sure we do. That's what the Bible says. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not bear false witness. For children, again, honor thy parents. That's in the Bible. Which means what? Children, if you do not honor and obey your parents, are you listening, children? You are not walking right in the sight of the Lord. Simple application for us. Does it make sense? But Josiah was walking right in the sight of the Lord. You know, sometimes parents, why are your children so quiet? You know, some people say, why are your children so well behaved? You know what, as Asian parents, you always say, ayana, outside, they're very quiet. At home, they are something else. All right, sometimes we think like that, then we'll... Because Josiah was a child whose character was right before man. But more importantly, his character was right before God. That was what God said about him, right? At the age of 8, he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. His actions were right. In 2 Chronicles 34, verse 1 and 3, I read again. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 131 years. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord and walked in the ways of David his father. The child was 8 years old. But he was doing what was right in the sight of God. His outward actions were right. If we have an understanding today of an 8-year-old, are they very mature? Are they very mature? All right. Let me give you a spiritual development inventory. Parents, please take note. If you want to, I can email you this as well. From infancy to 0 to 2 years old, a child begins his spiritual journey. The first aim of a child is to bond with the parent. The child attaches himself or herself to the carer, and that is the learning of basic trust. This prepares the child to learn, to trust God. From 2 to 3 years old, your child believes most of what he hears. And if your main carer, okay, at the age of 2 to 3, the child believes most of what he hears, he will be open to spiritual truth because you converse with him in words. You can introduce simple but significant spiritual truth at the age of 2 to 3. Your child at the age of 2 to 3 can identify with Jesus as a real person and as someone who wants to be his best friend. Parents, if at age 2 to 3, the only carer you have for the child is the television, your child will believe everything he sees on TV. If the American Idol is put in front of your child, or if your iPad, Samsung or whatever, is constantly the companion, that is what the child will believe as they grow up. 2 to 3. 4 to 5 years old. Your child at 4 and 5 can think of God in a personal way. She understands that God is perfect. 4 and 5. 4 to 5 years old, the author who have done research and experiment spiritually, the child can understand that God is perfect and the creator. She can sense God's greatness and wonder. She can associate God with things that are good, true, and beautiful. For a child aged 4 to 5, the concept of God that a child has is embedded, related to the relationship that as parents we have with the child. I say again, the concept of God that a child has is related to the relationship you as parents have with your child. That ought to convict us that from zero we need to be start teaching our children. But Brother Johnny, is it too late? Six, seven. No, it's never too late. Thank God there's always a U-turn. But I want you to understand the biblical, spiritual, experimental, historical reasons why as Christians we need to take note of our child training, especially also in the church. Ages 6 to 7, the child can understand basic truth about God. And this author says, therefore, make God a constant subject of your conversation with your 6 or 7-year-old. God is a real person who wants to be a part and who is a part of daily family life. Your child at that time, 6 to 7, can have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. He knows that he has committed sin, although the concept of a sinful nature might be too abstract for him. He knows what it means to be not pleasing to God. He can understand and believe that God forgives him because Jesus accepted the punishment for his sin on the cross. At the age of 6 to 7, the child can also invite Jesus into his life and know that he belongs to God's family, and he also can understand and look forward to living forever with God. Age 6 to 7. 8 to 11, which is Josiah's age. Your child at this age should be able to recognize sin as sin when she hears stories of people doing wrong. But to identify their own sins may not be as easy. However, she will have a natural, keen sense of justice. Oh, that's right, that's wrong. This will help her feel more responsible for her wrongdoings. She now begins to understand at the age of 8, beginning at 8 to 11, why God must punish sin and that Jesus took the punishment and that she needs to give her life to the Lord. Because your child can now read, she will also begin to take an interest in the Bible if you encourage him to do so. Your child also loves to read too. She particularly loves Bible stories. They have plenty of action and heroes. So rather than introducing Marvel comics to them, Captain America, Captain Singapore, Captain Malaysia, there's such a thing, no? Rather than introducing Captain America, why don't you introduce Joseph? Why don't you introduce Daniel in the lion's den? Go through the story in detail, how by faith they stood. Why don't you introduce Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Why don't you introduce Peter, James, John? Why don't you tell them about Pastor James? You know Pastor James? The pastor of the first Jerusalem church who was executed for his faith? I believe firmly in the best that we don't need Superman here to lead our children. We don't need Transformers. We need Jesus and the apostles, because they are the foundation of the local church. And as believers in Jesus Christ, who need to continue in apostolic doctrine, we need to know that these people lived and died for Jesus Christ, because their love and faith in Christ is so strong and they love Him so much. We need to have our children. That's why, parents, you will not find Marvel comics in our Sunday school. That is my specific instruction to Sunday school teachers. There will be no Marvel comics, no Superman, no Peter Pan, no whatever. Why? They don't need that. You know why? The moment they got the moment they go to the bookstand, it's all there. We do not need to introduce to our children what the world is already constantly teaching our children. We need to bring in spiritual truth all the time. Some of you are not even reading your Bibles. You know why? You know why you introduce Marvel comics? Because that's what you are doing. Is that true, parents? Is that the only thing that you have to give to your children? Peter Pan and... Is that Peter Pan still going on? Do you know who is Peter Pan? Who don't know who is Peter? Joseph, do you know who is Peter Pan? You know the people with the frying pan? No. Why are we introducing things that the world is constantly introducing to our children and not introducing to them what God says is important to introduce to them? I'm telling you this because children can be influenced from a young age. Children from eight to... She now old enough to know a deeper sense that the Bible is God's word, that is without error, that it is to be obeyed. It provides direct answers for many problems she faces in life. But she needs to be guided in finding those answers. This last paragraph is very important. Children at this age, 8 to 11, can memorize scripture easily, but her memorization must be accompanied by explanations from you of the meaning of God's truth. Your child's sense of loyalty can be directed towards the church and the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ can be a hero figure in your child's eyes. A personal relationship with Jesus is generally easy for an 8 to 11 year old. She can learn that she needs Jesus to control her life. She can know that Jesus will help her with her fears. This last part, I want us to take note, but how much of this she learns will depend to a great extent, fathers and mothers, your example. You know, that ought to convict all of us. I'm a father too. Does your child know God? Is your child doing that which is right? Or must you admit that sometimes you are more concerned? Is your child doing right in the eyes of God all the time? Or must you be very honest and say, hey, I'm very concerned for my child's behavior. It don't seem to be right in the eyes of God. Families, parents, dads and moms, it's not about your reputation. It's about the soul and the eternal well-being of your child. If someone comes and say, hey, your child is so like that, you know what we need to do? The first thing, God help me. Thanks for telling me. Go and investigate and see if that's the case. If it is, pray, be broken before, Lord God, help me to help my child. Parents, you only have the gift of your children that God gives you, besides your salvation, of course, and the church and all that. Your child is personally given to you. We are personally stewards before God for every child God gives us. Your child need to have a character that is always doing right. Children, you listen carefully. I will help parents now. Don't you ever dare to be rude to your parents, because that is sin in the eyes of God. You are dishonoring your parents. Some of children don't even care what their parents, mom and dad say. That is sin before God, because you are not giving your dad and mom the respect and the cooperation they need in helping you grow up to be like Jesus Christ. And parents, fathers, and mothers, can I encourage you, don't allow them to do that. God has given you biblical authority to chasten your child, discipline your child when it's wrong. Of course, don't whack him to the point he go to ICU, okay? We'll be dealing, hopefully, with caning and how corporal punishment, by the way, is still in the scriptures. You may go to jail in some countries, but that is still biblical. God does apply the rod to us as believers as well. And why is it as fathers we are greater than God in not applying the rod?
That's inconsistent with biblical teaching. It might be consistent with modern psychology, but it's not consistent with Scripture. As believers, we follow what God says. Okay? I will be able to teach you, hopefully, as the time allows over the next few weeks, in the process of doing that. But God does want us to discipline our children, because discipline teaches our children there's a consequence to sin. And if parents listen to this, if our children don't ever suffer any consequences for their misbehavior, they will think that sin against God is no big deal. And they will die and go to a devil's hell. And parents, it will be our fault, because God says the wages of sin is death. If God said so, it will happen. Amos Yee again. Maybe God just put him up for us to open our eyes that it is possible for a 16-year-old to even dishonor a man so great as Lee Kuan Yew. We don't worship him. We are grateful to him for what he has done for our country. But for him to say the things he said can only come straight from the devil's hell. Would you agree with that? It can only come from hell. The Bible says the people of this world walk according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2. The Bible is true in every area. It says, parents, let this be a warning to us. Is your child's actions always right in the eyes of God? Can I say this as families? In our church here, the goal is not to judge one another. It's to help one another. Can I say this? Parents, let's not judge one another. When our children misbehave, some may have an easier time than others. In the local church, we need to be helping one another, help bring our children. When our children see all the parents cooperating to help them to grow, they will find the environment they need to grow. And children, when your parents deal with you with certain areas, be very quick to cooperate with them. Because I can dare say, as a dad and mom, we only love you and want the best for you. Amen? That's what God put us here for. But I want you to notice something interesting before we leave this point. In 2 Chronicles chapter 34, verse 1 to 3, Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned in Jerusalem 31 years. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. And he walked in the ways of David, his father. Declined not to the right hand, nor to the left. Okay, some people may say this might deal with the trend of his life. But it's interesting, the Bible says in verse 3, for in the 8th year of his reign, while he was yet young. Remember, he was 8 years old. In the 8th year of his reign, how old was he? 16 years old. Guess what? He began to seek after the God of David, his father. How many of you are 16 years old? Put out your hand. How many of you are 16 years old and slightly above? Put out your hand. Slightly above means 1 or 2 years old. Don't be shy. How many of you are 15 years old? 15? Yeah? 14? Don't be shy. I roughly know your ages. What I'm trying to highlight is this. King Josiah did what he knew was right from the start. But at the age of 16, or thereabouts, the Bible says, 8 years of his reign, he himself began to seek the Lord. That means, Ethan, by the age of 16, your heart needs to begin to seek after the Lord. I say that with all seriousness. Some of you, past 16, have never at one time given your heart to God. Josiah, at the age of 16, he was already doing that which was right. You see, parents, it's not about, I don't want to force him. His heart is not there. No. In Hebrew wisdom, the children are often taught to do the right thing. Okay? Because right actions in young children help them to develop a behavior of rightness. But when they begin to grow up and understand the rightness, they will then begin to follow it. Turn to Proverbs 24. This is a very significant principle that as parents, when we train our children, we need to have. Sometimes, a lot of people say, we need to get the heart of the children. Sometimes we cannot capture their hearts. But as parents, that's why God gave us authority to ensure they do those things they are right. In Proverbs 24, and verse 3, memorize this for your own growth, okay? As you apply principles to your children. Verse 3, through wisdom is a house builded. Okay, let's start there. Through wisdom is a house built. How do you build a house? Generally, the architect will come up with a blueprint. What do the builders have to do? Just follow the blueprint, right? How deep to dig, how strong the materials must be. Through wisdom, the word wisdom in Hebrew thinking is, God is a God of wisdom. He has given us His word. And so when we obey His word, we are wise. You see the connection? That's Hebrew wisdom. Okay? Through wisdom, the house is then built. Then, the next part, what does the Bible say? And by understanding, it is established. How does that relate to child training? When a child starts to grow, you begin to teach the child, when you get up, fold your blankets, put your pillows properly, go and wash up, brush your teeth, wash your face. This is how you brush your teeth. You know, some children, they put the toothpaste in and start eating. Okay, that's not the right way. You need to hold their hands, you know, and start training them in the basic. Oh, I don't like this apple taste. Can I have a pineapple? Or something like that. The key thing is to get them to brush. And then after that, put on their whatever they put on, school, whatever. Go read the Bible. That's what we do in our family. After that, parents, for our family, they go read the Bible first before breakfast. Okay? So that's what we did with our children. And after that, initially it's like, I read the Bible, okay. Okay, finish. You know how children read their Bibles? Baba finished already. Right? But you know what? That's a habit they have from young. But when they begin to grow with a true understanding, now I know why I need to read the Bible. And then, parents, can I say this? When it comes to a point, your child don't need you to tell them to read their Bibles. Their understanding has been established. They know they need God. But until then, parents firmly but gently enforce the wisdom that they need to build their own lives with. And then, the third point, when by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. In other words, when they obey, they understand what they need in their lives is established, and then they begin to seek out knowledge to build that life up. Does that make sense? So, we have to be very clear. Josiah did the right things before he gave his heart to God. And that's part of child training. There's one man who has been he was an educator in 1800, said this, there is nothing a child cannot be trained to do. Nothing. Children are trained today to kill. Yes? They're trained to kill. Why don't we train our children for life? Point number 3, 2 Kings 22, verse 2. Number 1, he knew God. Number 2, his actions were right in the eyes of God. Number 3, thirdly, and this is important, he had an influence in his life. The Bible says in verse 2, he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord and walked in all the way of David, his father. Who was Josiah's father? Ammon. Okay, Ammon. What kind of father was he? He was a wicked king. Okay, 2 Kings chapter 1, verse 19 to 24. Let me just read. Ammon was 20 and 2 years old when he began to reign. He reigned 2 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Meshelemeth, the daughter of Harus of Jotbah. And this king Ammon did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, as his father Manasseh did. And he walked in all the ways that his father walked in and served the idols that his father served and worshipped them. He forsook the Lord, God of his father, walked not in the way of the Lord. The servants of Ammon conspired against and slew the king in his own house, and the people of the land slew all them that had conspired against King Ammon and the people. Josiah's father was Ammon. He did that which was wrong. 2 years after he was enthroned, he was assassinated in his house. But yet Josiah still walked in the ways of David, his father. One of the reasons for a successful child, always Christian parents listen, because there's security factor in the child, there was an influence in the child. There's an influence in the child. If you look at Josiah's own father, he was wicked. His father was not an influence in his life. Fathers, are we influencers to our children? Mothers, are we influencers towards Christ? Listen, being an influence means we must have a goal.
We can influence our child to walk with God. Many parents fall into this mistake, I believe. Correct me if I'm wrong. This is my observation. Many of them bring them to church, teach the Bible, but they never tell your child what God expects of them and what you as parents expect them to do. You say, oh no, hopefully by my example they'll learn. Yeah? Children catch what we do wrong more than what we do right. Do you agree? And children catch the easy way out more than what is right. David was not his direct father, but David was one of the great, or his great-grandfather. That's God put a natural love in the child for us and moms too. When God gave us our children, that's why our children always run to us. You will find that the child will never lose love for us unless on and on and on and on and on he faces rejection, he faces refusal, he faces our anger, he faces our discouraging words. The children, you understand what I'm talking about. The parents, all our language towards our children is get away, do your thing, don't disturb me, all that. You know what children begin to realize? You know what children learn? I'm not to disturb my dad. He's always busy. When our children learn that, what do you think he'll do with the Heavenly Father? God is too busy to rule the universe that he won't bother about me. Parents, these are the messages we gave. There's an American boy who was caught stealing and the parents were brought in for counseling together with the boy. The parents were scolding the boy. Why you did that? Why parents, we worked so hard to give you everything you have. The boy's head was down and it was low and dad, I have all that I need, but I lack one thing. I don't have you. Is it possible we in a Singaporean society with 600 over churches in Singapore, our children are still bending down to the gods of this world? Why? Because as parents, we need to get in there and not just tell them the Bible, live the Bible and train them in the things of the Bible. In other words, Dad, we will sit beside our children when they read the Bible and teach them. This is what Moses is saying. This is what Abraham is doing. We don't send our children to Sunday school. We come to Sunday school with them to show them the pattern. If our comforts and convenience are so important, we had two children that came to our Sunday school. I think those who started Ambassador will probably understand. I won't mention their names. They came to Sunday school faithfully every Sunday. In the words of one of them, say, I wish Papa and Mama would come to Sunday school with me. Today, one of them is living with a boyfriend. The other one is out of the house. As pastor of this church, I do not want to see that as a statistic anymore. Why? Because parents, we have been so selfish with our own lives that we never see the gift of God given to us for our children. And God is just saying, would you just teach these young ones the word of life and be an influence for them. Dads and moms, do you realize you are your children's heroes? There is none greater. You are the one, moms, who fed them when they were young. You are the one, when they were sick, was the one who brought them to the doctors. You are the one who cared for them. And when they fell and scraped their knee, you were the one who put the band-aid on them. When they had to go to A&E, you were there to stay the night with them. Moms and dads, you are your children's heroes. Use that to your advantage to drive them to God. To tell them, Mama, I love you because God loved me and I want to love you in Jesus' name. Don't be ashamed of mentioning the name of Jesus in your interaction with your child. Don't be afraid when you are publicly at a hawker center. Come, son, daughters, let's pray. We give thanks for food. Proverbs 17, verse 6. Children's children are the crown of old men. And the glory of children are their fathers. Dads, do you realize your children love you so much that according to the scriptures, God has put in them a heart? That's my dad. But if you're a dad who smokes and do what you want and play golf and is supposed to be in church and do everything else except honor God, after a while, your children will feel ashamed to call you your dads. And that is not the children's fault. That is our fault. That is why God's goal is to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children. Remember last month our memory verse? And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children. You know why? In the nation of Israel, when Moses said, fathers, love God with all your heart, the fathers have walked away. They are more concerned for the mighty dollar and their careers than they are in training the children. But God says, in his grace, I will turn the heart of the fathers back to the son. That is the first priority God has. Do you know why? Because fathers, you have more information, you have more understanding, you have more wisdom than a three-year-old. And that's why God says, I will work with the fathers to bring them back first. And if I may say, as a mouthpiece for the Lord today, fathers, God wants you to come back and draw nigh to God, that he can do the next part. He will draw the hearts of the children back to the fathers. According to Malachi chapter 4 and verse 6. It was Spurgeon. I'll just read this. And I have heard Spurgeon say of one man who said, oh, I don't want to prejudice my son. I want to let him make his own decisions. So, but the devil, however, is quite willing to influence the child. So very early in life, this child learned to swear. Although the father thinks, no, I will never teach my children to pray. I want him to choose his own ways. If you ever feel that you want to do this, that you, when God gives you a piece of good ground, you're not sowing it, after a while, the devil will come and he will plant weeds into the children's hearts. Where the plow does not go, the seed is not sown. The weeds are quite sure to multiply. And if children are left untutored and untrained, all sorts of evil will spring up in their hearts. That's why many Christian families have children who dabble in the wiles of the devil, and they think it's okay. And I'm going to show you some of the wiles of the devil. Can I have the screen? I'm going to give you snippets of what you... I didn't ask anyone, all right? I just threw out what I've learned over the years. I'm very swaku. It was only many years ago. You asked my children, I'm very swaku. One of the things that I learned a long time ago, that 99.9999% of everyone is on computer games. I say, huh? I thought only a few. And then it dawned on me. I'm going to show you some things. I'll show you a Bible verse first. Parents, I want you to take note. Okay? The Bible says, 1 Thessalonians 5:22, abstain from all appearances of evil. What does that mean? The word abstain means to stay away from, avoid, put away everything that have sin, right? No, the appearance of sin. And I'm going to show you some very godly examples that we have allowed our children to have been in their lives. And then we wonder, why are they not living for God? Tim? J-pop, Japanese pop. Next one. K-pop. These are your influences of your children. The next one. Dungeons and Dragons. A game. Next one. How godly is this? Will this bring you to a closer relationship with Jesus Christ? Next one. Next one. Next one. No more. Parents, these are your children's influences. Some of you are on. How many of you will actually honestly say that these pictures look like demons? Put out your hand. Then why are you still allowing that in your families? This might be one of the reasons why some families here are broken up, because you have allowed the devil to step into your house. And you say, that's okay, do what you want. Maybe that's why some of you parents have difficulty controlling your children. Am I being too far-fetched? Members, you know what I'm talking about. It's your pastor. It is very hard to go in and help a family if, as parents, you allow this trash, this demonic influence in your family. Mark it down. Train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, you have a hard time chasing him for the things of God. Teenagers, if you are involved in this, can I beg you as pastor, delete, cancel every account you have, because if you don't, the devil will destroy you, your family, and your future. Because you're allowing the appearance of evil in your heart. Brother Johnny, they're harmless. Are they really? Let me just read you. According to an American Academy of Pediatrics, of the 33 most popular video games chosen by children in grades 4 to 8, 21% of them featured violence against women, in addition to other violent acts against other forces. A professor of radiology at Indiana University of Medicine in America, Dr. Vincent Matthews and his research team, have proven that adolescents' brain function actually altered as a result of playing violent video games. The study said that after playing a video game for just about 30 minutes, the teenagers experienced increased activity in the part of the brain related to emotional arousal, which is natural. You see soccer games, yay! You know the arousal. In addition to this, there is a decrease in activity in the parts of the brain related with self-control. So as you are getting more emotionally hyped up, the areas of self-control is decreased. This study is important because it proves a link between brain activity and type of video games children play. Okay, they are honest. While this is not conclusive that video games produce violent children, there is more potential for this. Do video games influence children? The American Academy of Pediatrics Children Health, do violent games influence children? This report was back in 2000. They say there is a significant influence. They cite violent video games and other forms of media as a definite threat to children because they contribute to aggressive behavior, desensitization to violence, nightmares and fears of being harmed by others. Additionally, video games that allow the player to initiate violent acts prove to be even more of a threat to the health and well-being of a child. Studies have demonstrated that children playing these games exhibited measurable decreases in pro-social and helping behaviors, increase in aggressive thoughts and violent retaliation. That's why we are building up a whole generation of teenagers who doesn't want to serve God. Why? Because the violent video games have numbed and they become very antisocial. That when they come to church, they will just stay by themselves. Why? The whole generation is being programmed by Satan to not serve God. Dear friend, if God is showing us this, parents, isn't it time we wake up to the reality that there might be demons in your house today? I'm not talking about spiritual things. It is spiritual. I'm scared. You know what I'm afraid? That some of you teenagers will not take heed to what is preached today. Will not delete everything that I told you to delete. You know why God put a pastor in the church? Do you realize every time I preach this kind of messages, things happen to my family? This is spiritual warfare.
And we wonder why our children don't want to get baptized. We wonder why our children don't want to do right. We wonder why our children misbehave in public. We wonder why our children don't listen to us. It's because we allow these influencers and teenagers. If you know what I'm talking about, I believe you do. And we wonder why, as Christians, we are fighting a losing battle in church.
It's common knowledge that children learn by watching. Even if children know these games aren't real, it still has an impact. Through playing these games, they act out behavioral scripts that get them positive outcomes with violence. It is said that exposure to these scripts causes increased feelings of hostility, expectations that others will behave aggressively, desensitization to the pain of others, an increased likelihood of interacting and responding to others with violence. Video games teach children that violence is good by rewarding and awarding players points for violent acts upon others. Some of us know what I'm talking about today as church members. There are people in prison because they are acting out behavioral scripts. And you don't tell me that is not from the pits of hell. You know why I say it's from the devil? Because he is a murderer and he is a liar from the beginning. And parents, if you are not awakened to this deception that's happening in your life, God help you. God help us. No, this author continues, addiction adds to the issue. These children not only play, they get addicted to it. Studies have proven that video games can be addictive. This adds to the issue by demonstrating that not only children will be playing violent video games, but they will also be exposed to them for long periods of time. This is not just a passing fancy for children, but a true everyday activity. Repetition of these violent acts within the games just increases the effects. Parents, who is influencing your children? Parents, who is influencing you? Dads, are you influencing your children, moms, or computer games? Some of you teenagers have such a hatred for the people around you. You don't even care about baptism anymore. You don't even care about God's word anymore. You don't even care about reading your Bibles anymore. Why? Because the violent video games have aroused your addiction to it and brought down whatever God wants you. When you walk in the flesh, you will feed the flesh all the time. You know what it's time to do? That's why God says in Mark chapter 9, don't have to turn there. If thy hand offend thee, what do? Cut it off. Some of you are so embedded in computer games, the only way God is going to help you is that you will cut off the hand of computer games in your life. Some of you parents, you know how you manage your children? Shove them the iPad. You know what they learn? Okay. Mama, cannot. Come, cannot. Oh, okay, done ready. Cannot, the snake never eat the... Okay, done ready. And we wonder why we have misbehaved children. Because you feed your child. I want to make a startling statement. Some of you parents will not see your children in heaven because you do not influence them for Christ. It's a Korean band influencing your families. 2 Kings chapter 22, verse 2, finally. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, walk in the ways of David his father. Turn not aside to the right hand, nor to the left. Number 4. This child's heart is fixed, and he is fixed to do right. How many of us, of our children, when in the midst of their peers, will say, I'm not going to drink, I'm not going to smoke. If a friend comes and says, hey, why don't you just try this smoke? I'm sorry, I'm a Christian, I'm not going to smoke. Parents, do you have confidence that your child will do that? Children, are you confident that you will stand when the temptation comes? Those of you in public school, you have no... The only thing you have is your relationship with God to protect your character. Did you know that? Increasing young girls are falling prey to premarital immorality. Why? Parents, what are you teaching your children? This child's heart is fixed. Josiah's heart was fixed to do the right thing, and through God, through Josiah, God sent a whole revival in the land. As we closed, I know I've hit on many things that I don't even... I'm concerned. Some of you young people have songs in your phone that you would not dare to let me or your parents see what kind of songs you have. Would you agree? How many of you would dare and say, put your iPod, iPhone, or whatever you have here, and Pastor, go ahead, go through all my song lists. You will not find one that is dishonoring to God. How many of you would dare to do that? I'm serious. Parents, you who want to give your child privacy, is your child accountable to you enough and strong enough in his heart? Dad, there was a phone that came in, a song that came in. I deleted it. See, it's here. And you would have the ongoing accountability. Those who would be parents, can I say this? As much as you respect your children, this is one area. There was my pastor in Australia said one thing, you know. Christian pastor who was, there was, you know, in America they have like trees and their nests and all that, right? So then in the nest there were some birds, around up, those little chicks and little eggs. So this pastor was quite curious, so he went there to take a look, you know. And before long, his son, something was hitting him. And true enough, the mother bird came and started pecking at the pastor. And it started to run away. And my pastor in Australia was making the point, when an intruder comes into the nests, would we as the mothers and fathers be quick enough to peck the intruder? And the pastor said, it drew blood. Now as a bird pecked the intruder so hard, it actually drew blood on the pastor's head. And that taught the pastor never to go to the nest again. Are influences of this world influencing our children that they would follow the things of this world? I have an 8-year-old I know many years ago. It's a young pastor. The mom came to me almost with tears in her eyes. And he said this, I know there's only one place my child learned this dirty word and said it to his dad at home. And that was in school. What influence are you giving your children? 3 questions. What kind of child do you have, parents, today? Do we have children that is walking with God? Those who have past parenting, do you have children who are walking with God? Parents, what will your child become? What will your child become? Josiah, at the age of 8, was walking in the steps of God. And by 16, he was seeking God. Those who are not married or planning to be, lay that foundation very strongly, uncompromisingly, with all the compassion in your heart for your loved one, and build it up strong. Unless this message you think is only for the parents, teenagers, young children, what kind of child will you be to your parents who have painstakingly brought you up? Would you honor them with your faith in Christ? Or would you dishonor them by your love for this world? I hope this message will sink deep. Some of you teenagers need to delete every account, every game from your computers. You know, in the past, in Ambassador, we held one time a burning of Harry Potter. We had one guy who had over $100 worth of Harry Potter CDs. We asked them to bring, we burned them. Now it's impossible because it's all downloadable. Do you know the devil is making it harder? There's only one thing. Children, if you want to cooperate with your parents, you know what you need to do? Every security code, every password you have for your accounts, your computer, your phone, you allow your parents to know and work together. Parents, our job is not to police them. It's to trust them, to encourage them to do the right thing. But teenagers, you know, your parents love you and want you to walk in the straight and narrow way. You need to cooperate with your parents as well, please.
Yeah, I have a choice.
If God gave me magical powers to make you guys robots and follow His word, I will. But I can't. But with the love of Christ in my heart for families and good teenagers, the way you are walking out of God's will with a character that has nothing to do with Christ. As a father, it's painful to me. I wonder how painful it is to your own dads and moms. Fathers and mothers, can I pray? Can I ask and request you take responsibility for the God-given biblical role? That dads, you will be dads for Christ. Moms, you will be moms for Christ. And children, you will cooperate with your parents so that we all will be on our way to heaven, amen? On that journey that grows, that keeps out the influences of this world, and that love God with all our hearts. And then, like Noah, we can reach out and bring the people into a relationship with God. Let's pray. Lord, I don't know the direction that you take. Father, Lord, there's just so many statistics and so many things out there. And it's your people. Lord, as your under shepherd, I can't do anything in the lives of these people unless you do the work. The word, I believe, has been preached according as consistently as I can, as your Holy Spirit will allow me to. Father, I know that the word of God preached loudly doesn't ensure a change in the heart unless the Holy Spirit comes and applies that. Some families are being destroyed because they've let Satan in, Lord. They've let Satan in. Many children have been desensitized to Warcraft, desensitized to League of Legends, desensitized to the Assassin's Creed, desensitized to K-pop and J-pop. Many people have been desensitized to Taylor Swift. Many, Lord, have been desensitized to the music, the trash of this world. Father, that encourages rebellion against you and your word, disobedience to parents. Father, do your work. Eyes closed, heads bowed. I'm going to ask a question. I don't know how you respond, but if there's one person here who said, God has spoken to my heart, I'm a child, I'm involved in that. And Pastor, as a sign of my repentance, I put up my hand and I will go home and delete every account, everything that has anything to do with this kind of worldly game sites, demonic game sites. Is there someone like that? Put up your right hand, I'll pray for you. Amen, I see that hand. Amen. Is there someone else? Is there someone else?
Would to God that we would surrender ourselves to someone else. Thank God, someone else. Some of you will have the destruction in your lives and you wonder where it came from. Is there someone else? Amen. I see that hand. There's two. Is there someone else? Oh, parents, pray.
Questions for Christian. Is there someone who will say, Brother Johnny, based on what God has done in my life, every song, that doesn't honor God, that has the rock beat, every song that is not in line and that will not bring me closer to God, I will delete from my iPhone, my iPad, wherever. Is there someone who will say, Pastor Johnny, pray for me. I've decided to give of my songs to God. Is there someone who will say that? Pastor, pray for me. I will get rid of all these songs and replace them with godly music. Is there someone else? Is there someone? All right, dads and moms, can I ask you, has the Lord spoken to your heart? Over the next few weeks, we'll talk about different aspects. It all begins with your personal Christian life with God. Do you know God? Do you know God's word? That when your child has a problem, you will apply God's word rather than your principles or your philosophy. Pastor, pray for me that God will... Pastor, God has spoken to me. Pray for me that God will help me make some changes in my schedule, that I will give more time, at least the beginning of prayer and reading. Is there someone like that? Pastor, pray for me. That's an amen. I see that hand. Is there someone else? Amen. Amen. I see that hand. I see parents putting up their hands. Someone else? And we're not here to judge one another. We're here to help one another. Is there someone else? All right. If you're here today and you're not a Christian and you're playing those games and the influences you have is from this world, you will have no peace in this world. Neither will you have peace in the world to come unless you put your faith in Jesus, the Prince of Peace. Is there someone say, Brother Johnny, I'm not a Christian, but I've heard enough to know that if Jesus loves me so much, I want to make him my Savior. Is there someone like that? Just put up your right hand, I'll pray for you. Get a brother or sister to share that with you. Is there someone? All right, let's pray. Father, I pray. Lord, it's going to be a spiritual war. I pray for the two persons who will delete every account from their lives. Everything that would have those demonic, satanic appearance on the computer games. Lord, it's going to be hard. But I pray that as you filled the early church with your Holy Spirit, as they obeyed you, I pray that you will fill these brethren with the power of your Spirit to put these satanic, demonic things out of their lives completely. Lord, I pray that every time they pray for strength, you will give them added strength. Every time they pray for grace, you give them added grace. Lord, it's a spiritual war. And by your grace, if one person can be rescued from this, Father, I pray that you give your hordes of angels and Father, all your whole power, Lord, to the brethren who says, I surrender to God. I want him to be Lord of my life. I pray for these two brethren who has put up their hands. Oh, God, help them. Lord, there may be withdrawals, there may be things that will happen, but help them to be firmly decided in their lives that they will put off the old man and they will put on the new man, which after Christ is after holiness and that which was right. I pray, Father, for the parents. Oh God, I pray for every dad, every mom. I pray for much grace in the job you've called them to do. And God, you know, we are not here to judge. But your word has spoken so clearly to some of the hearts here. And I pray, Father, that you use the moms and the dads to influence their children for Christ on a daily basis. And that the children, Father, will be accountable to their parents in everything they do. Not because the parents want to police them, but because they know the best thing to do to walk in Christ and His will is to have a cooperation in the family that will honor you. Thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do. As we close, as every mom and dad walk out of this place, may they carry these words in their hearts and perhaps hear the message again and again. The Lord, the truth. Lord, the only thing we can bring to heaven is our children.
God, I pray
as pastor of this church that every child, everyone who has set an ambassador will be on their way to heaven. Not because of ambassador, but because of your grace to reach this individual for Christ.
God, I pray that every family's child will grow up godly, loving Jesus with all their hearts. They will cooperate with their moms and their dads to walk with Christ. And that, Father, when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, we will see every child we have there. We will see every loved one we know there. And we will do all we can, if it's the last thing we do on earth, to lead them to a knowledge of Christ. I pray for every Christian who is the only light in their families, that God, the same heart for their own family, for their sisters and brothers and moms and dads and grandparents, will burn. There will be nothing that will stop us by your Holy Spirit to win our families to Christ. Lord, we'll thank you for what you're going to do. Dismiss us with your richest blessing. Pray that the peace of God our Father, love of Jesus the Son, the leading of the Holy Spirit will be upon every one of our lives. If there's a sin to be repented of, I pray, Lord, that it will be done. If there's a heart that needs to be encouraged and challenged, I pray your Holy Spirit will do the same. I pray, Father, that for someone who needs you to lift them up from where they are, I pray that you'll do that too. And for a Christian who has walked away from you, bring them back, Lord, by your grace. We thank you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.